Well, after weeks apart, the boys are well and truly back. Hello, ladies and gents, and we welcome you cordially to Monday Night Gore. It's a real pleasure to be back on the podcast, the only podcast on Monday nights, even though we're recording this on a Wednesday, but we'll keep that very, very quiet. It's great to be here with my dear friends, Connor Farity and Robbie Edwards. And we have not seen Robbie since before WrestleMania. He's been sidelined with his new job, which is just very good. It's understandable, Connor. But you held down the fort last week. A terrific interview you did solo with Vert Vix. We thank you for doing that. And we do encourage you, ladies and gents, to check out that interview. You can find it on all our social medias at Monday Night Gore on Twitter. That's capital M, capital N, capital G, and indeed on our Instagram, Monday Night Gore, all one word, all lowercase. But Robbie, it's been a while, my friend. And before we get into the wrestling chat, how are you? What have you been up to?
I've been working, Andrew. I know if you listen to this podcast from the start, you'd be surprised that I've managed to secure myself employment. But I have. It's been a hectic first month, just getting used to the job. But I have tried my best to keep on top of the wrestling. I have not missed the podcast on purpose. I love doing the podcast. I will always be committed to doing the podcast, but it's good to be back. I've managed to catch up on my wrestling now. In my opinion, Dynamite has set the bar extremely high over the past few weeks. Don't get me wrong, I'm still enjoying SmackDown NXT. Raw continues to be dead to me. But Dynamite has come to a league of its own recently, and I am so excited for Blood and Guts and Double or Nothing, which is until next month, but I cannot wait for it, Andy. So, yes, still love my wrestling, same as always.
100%. Glad to hear it, Rob. And you're absolutely right. We'll get all the lowdown from episodes of Dynamite and, of course, the upcoming Blood and Guts we'll talk about as well. But first, Connor, we should talk about something that happened just the other day, Impact Wrestling. Now, they've had a little partnership going on with AEW for a number of months now. Very interesting. They're not really crossed the divide too much. It's mostly been Omega and the Good Brothers who have sort of taken that divide, of course, tagged along with by Don Callis. But on Impact's Rebellion show, we saw a monumental event. It was Rich Swann, the unified Impact World Champion, taking on Kenny Omega in a title versus title match. AEW versus Impact, an incredible main event on a really stellar show, in fairness to Impact. Might start watching Impact from now on, Connor, because Kenny Omega is the unified champion. He has all the gold. He is AEW World and now Impact World Heavyweight Champion. A quite incredible turn of events. Some months ago, we might not have thought this would happen, but they have gone for it. And Kenny Omega is now your dual champion on both Impact and AEW. In terms of the match, Connor, what do you make of it? And, of course, the wider decision to give Kenny the belt. What do you think?
Well, Andy, it was a bigger swerve than Isaiah Swerve Scott, wasn't it? It was unbelievable. I mean, listen, they've been teasing it in the pipeline for a while now. As you mentioned, the crossover's been pretty good. I'm glad they haven't overdone it. Like you said, it's tended to just be sort of Omega going over and then the Good Brothers coming over to AEW. But other than that, they've kind of kept it kind of low key. It was very interesting. I didn't think they would do it. I thought Rich Swann would retain and they'd kind of just keep it sort of low key. But no, they've gone big. They've gone for it. And they've gone Kenny Omega as champion over two massive brands. I mean, Impact's only getting bigger, and AEW, what they've done in the year and a half, whatever it is that they've been on air, has been absolutely incredible. And listen, Kenny Omega has been a worthy champion on AEW, and I think he's going to be exactly the same on Impact. He's got so much gold now. I mean, he's going to have one over one shoulder, one over another shoulder, and one round the waist. I mean, he's got too much dripping in gold. But it was a fantastic match, and I highly recommend, if anyone's listened to this and you know, you got a spare hour or whatever, stick it on, stick Impact Rebellion on, because it's a fantastic pay-per-view. I mean, I know, Andy, your favourite wrestler of all time, Rhino, he was there. Some of you will remember Big Cass from WWE. He also made his debut on Impact as well. And it was a great show. You know, it was fantastic. But this main event culminated it, and they gave it, you know, I remember looking and watching and thinking, oh, they've got about half an hour here. This is going to be a long time to fill. But no, it didn't feel rushed. It didn't feel too long. And it was brilliant, you know, just from the way Omega's sort of taunting Edwards and Willie Mack on the outside as well with Rich Swann's body. And you're thinking, nah, which one's going to get out of this? And he's going to hit his finisher. But alas, no, he didn't. And Kenny Omega is now, well, you say he's a dual champion, Andy. I think he's a triple champion, isn't he? Because he took Moose's title as well. And Rich Swann took Moose's title in the last time. So Omega's now got three. He's got the Impact Impact World Championship. He's got AEW World Champion. I think it's the TNA Championship as well. So
well,
he's
got
way too much going on here.
I think they're technically unified. They are represented by two belts. Whether that will change or not soon, I'm not sure. I think they probably should do just for Kenny's back, carrying all that gold on him. But in terms of the match, it did really feel, Rob, like an Impact versus AEW setting. Of course, at the start of the night, we saw Tony Khan with Shivani. And they actually introduced Aubrey Edwards as a co-referee in that main event, along with Impact's Brian Hebner, son of the great Earl Hebner. And but it never felt too gimmicky. It never felt like it was Impact versus AEW. There was definitely two men doing battle. But ultimately, yeah, Kenny is now your champ on both brands. Where do you see this going forward now? Do you see Kenny appearing every week on Impact and indeed Dynamite? It could be done, seeing as though both are on different nights. And would you like to see more guys from Impact come over to Dynamite? Because, of course, it's a bigger channel, bigger viewing numbers, as we'll get into very soon. What do you think is going to happen here?
No, to be honest, Andy, which I like, obviously not having a clue what's going on. You took the words out of my mouth. Hopefully this means that we will get to see more Impact stars be on Dynamite. I want to see Moose on my screen more. I do. Because I don't watch much of Impact. So I watch the main event of the pay-per-view. That's about it. I will try and fit in Impact because it can replace Raw on a weekly basis as a show that I fit in. But yeah, I want to see more of Impact's superstars on my screen because from what I've seen, and if it is only brief of Impact, then they have some extremely talented superstars who have gone under the radar over the years, whether that's on WWE or other wrestling brands. But I don't really know where they're going with this, to be honest. I think it deserved because Kenny Omega is an absolute god. He is, in my opinion, the best wrestler in the world. Along with Roman Reigns, arguably has the best gimmick. Currently, as a heel, he is untouchable. The whole Elite thing they're doing, I love the Young Bucks are heel as well. And I don't see anyone touching him really for a long, long time. And they obviously stated a few weeks back that I believe Hangman Adam Page is being groomed to later be the man to take it off him. But that is a long way away because obviously at the moment he's just having these little segments with the Dark Order, which I love. And I think it's very clever of Tony Khan because he knows how to put people over and pairing him with the Dark Order is a very good idea. But I don't know he's going to touch him at the moment. You would imagine he's going to have to defend at the next pay-per-view against who? I'm not 100% sure who that will be. Christian Cage, obviously, mounted the challenge ages ago. Obviously, there are Eddie and John, but I would like to see them go after the tag team belts personally because I believe they have excellent, excellent chemistry. But Kenny Omega at the moment is the man, and he just is the man. He is the best, and I don't see how anyone can argue with the fact that he has now got three belts, and he looked bloody sick with three belts around him. That, I must say.
He did. And our Twitter followers agree with you, Rob, 100%, said they loved this particular match and indeed the result of Kenny Omega winning. And a great showing for Kenny Omega and a great show for Dynamite the past couple of weeks. Of course, he's been the first show since the Wednesday Night Wars did draw to a close with NXT moving to Tuesday nights. NXT, I would say conceding the Wednesday Night Wars, but certainly moving to a different night and Wednesday night staying on Dynamite, and some really, really impressive numbers here, fellas, for Dynamite. 1.2 mil the first week and just dropping ever slightly to 1.1 mil the second week. AEW's numbers have both increased as well, which just goes to show, lads, that
I think that deserves a round of applause, Andy.
It does, absolutely. Great,
I mean, that's
great numbers.
Phenomenal figures that they're getting through.
Yeah.
They probably never imagined that. I mean, I can't imagine Tony Khan ever thought that it would get this, because that's just phenomenal. It really is.
And to be, we shouldn't mention that SmackDown numbers are pretty good. Raws are dropping. Rob mentioned he could easily drop Raw at the drop of a hat.
I wonder why they're dropping, Andy.
Well, they've gone below 2 million for, I think, a few weeks now. And they're literally, it's in the 100,000s difference between Raw viewing figures. Raw, a show that's been on the air since 1993, and Dynamite, a show that has been on the air for not even 2 years. Quite astonishing stuff. And if AEW continue, who knows what could happen? They could really start building some serious momentum in the television market here. But, you know, lads, we were saying it for a while. Do we need the Wednesday Night Wars? Is it not better to have both NXT and Dynamite on different nights? Because surely they deserve all the attention they could possibly get, Connor. And now that that's happened, what do we see? We see both shows getting increased numbers. That's got to be the best thing.
Exactly. And I think it was good NXT moves for Tuesdays, because there was a time, lads, when we were watching WWE and we were like, we're only watching it because of NXT. You know, SmackDown was a dive and Raw was a dive, and NXT was the only thing that was sort of keeping it up. And we were struggling to get them both on a Wednesday night, and we wanted to watch Dynamite at the same time. And one of them would feel rushed, and we feel like we'd concede to one of them. And I think it's 100% the right decision. Yes. I mean, maybe they are conceding and maybe people are going to look at it like that. But hopefully it kind of stops that bitterness, and it just means that everyone can enjoy two really good shows of wrestling, because both deserve their own nights, which they've got, and both of them are getting the viewing figures that they now deserve.
Absolutely. And I like to think it'll only increase from there. Before we get to Blood and Guts, I do just want to talk about the women of AEW, because again, this has been a hotly discussed topic on this show. Regularly, we've slated the women's division of AEW. But gents, I think the past couple months, I would say, it's really starting to improve. The additions of the likes of Jade Cargill, who just feel like a big deal. The woman has only had a few matches and she looks like she's been doing it for years. Highly impressive stuff. Red Velvet's come out of the shadows. Chris Statlander returning. Very, very enjoyable. I think she's going to face Penelope Ford actually tonight on Dynamite. And of course, the Women's World Champion Sheeta's going to hopefully be taking on Britt Baker very soon, lads. Baker, after Sheeta defended her title recently and won the match against Ty Conti, Britt Baker came out straight away, changed the graphic on the rankings and said, I'm number one. Robbie, Britt Baker's got to be the one to take the title off Sheeta, no?
Yeah. The women's division is improving week by week. It really is. Obviously, it's not, in my opinion, the standout at the moment. There's other parts of Dynamite, which is just incredible, but it is improving. But I do think they need a change at the top. Sheeta's been there for come a year when it gets to Double or Nothing, which you would imagine be when she faces Britt. I would like to think it would be saved for a pay-per-view. As much as I want to see the match, I think it should be on a pay-per-view, and I think it's the right time, Andy. I think they just need to move that title on. And Britt is the best person to move it on to, but there's so many other talented women. I've loved the return of Chris Statlander. I think she's brilliant. Crowd love her. A little boop thing. Andy is a huge fan of that.
And she did to the referee.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She really is. Jade Cargill, I'm obsessed with. She scares me slightly. In the ring, she looks superb. Yeah. So they put the belt on her. I wouldn't be too much an issue. And Thunder Rosa as well. And there are other women as well. I want to see more Penelope Ford. Obviously, she's got a singles match. She'll probably lose to Chris Statlander, you would have thought. But I would like to hope she gets a good showing, given that we've literally seen nothing of her since that incredible match against Sheeta.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Way back when. The women's position is moving in the right direction, Andy. That's all I ask. It wasn't going to be suddenly snap of the fingers and they're going to be main eventing every week. It's going to take time, but at least there seems to be effort in improving the division. That's all I wanted to see. That's all we wanted to see. And the thought of Britt and Sheeta going one-on-one is something that appeals to me greatly. It should be an incredible match. And yeah, Britt's got to win the title. If she doesn't win the title, then Tony should be shot being an idiot, but I'm sure she will. I'm sure he's sensible enough to realise it's time for change.
Yeah, she is easily the hottest prospect in AEW at the minute as someone that is just about ready to explode, I think. And hopefully, yeah, Double or Nothing, book it. Hikaru Shida versus Britt Baker, we're calling it right now. But shifting gears now to the men, a male storyline that's been going on. And lads, I mean, this is brilliant, really good stuff. This is a war of words. Physicality, brutality, and it's going to culminate in blood and guts. I'm, of course, talking about MGF's new pinnacle stable taking on the Inner Circle, who are all back together now, all on the same page. Was it a ruse the whole time? It seems like it. And this has been a really well-told story, boys. And Blood and Guts, of course, was scheduled for the Inner Circle taking on the Elite way back when. Of course, the pandemic's put a halt to that. They had said the Stadium Stampede match, which was a good bit of fun as well. But the Blood and Guts match, basically a War Games match, ever so slightly different rules. I'm sure they'll explain them nearer the time. We don't need to go into all that. But, Connor, I mean, you know, this could really set the place on fire. Blood and Guts, Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle. What do you make of this storyline?
It'll steal the show. It'll steal the show. And they've been building it for weeks now. Set an early precedent that it was going to happen at Blood and Guts. They've got another show to do it. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It should main event. I think it will. And it will steal the show, and it will show you who is the main faction in AEW. Is it the Pinnacle or is it the Inner Circle? I'm sure we'll do predictions next week or the week after, whenever it is that it's coming. I think May the 5th, is it, Andy?
I think that rings a bell, yeah. I'll double check.
So probably be next week that we do that. But yeah, I mean, I'm very excited for it. I think it's a storyline that I've been invested in. The promos are brilliant. I mean, I could listen to MJF all day, cut promos. I could listen to Chris Jericho all day, cut promos. I mean, the rest don't really need to speak. It's quite funny when I heard Jake Hager speak and Jericho kind of told him to sort of calm down.
Yeah, he doesn't know how, bless him.
Didn't really know where he was going. But he's not there to speak, is he? He's there to wrestle. And I think I'm very much looking forward to it. I find it very, very hard to call. I don't know whether they're going to go MJF and keep building him, or whether they're going to give the Inner Circle like one last sort of push. I really don't know. But again, we always talk about we don't like to know, and I think that's how I want it. Part of me wants Inner Circle to win. I think I'd like Inner Circle to win, but I wouldn't be too upset if the Pinnacle went out and smashed their faces in.
And Connor, very well remembered. May the 5th, it will take place on Dynamite, Daly's Place. And actually, lads, this is going to be interesting for another reason. The venue, Daly's Place, will be operating at 50% capacity. Now, Daly's Place is around just under 6,000. So we'll see around 3,000 fans in attendance for that Dynamite. And it's going to be the largest crowd AEW have had since before the pandemic. So, I mean, yeah, they were waiting for fans to come back before they did the Blood and Guts match. That's why they curtailed it for just about a year. And they're going to have fans in attendance for it. And I cannot wait for that.
A crowd is only going to help. I mean, you just had to watch WrestleMania to realise how much a crowd can help an event. And I think a real crowd behind there with the wrestlers probably still in the front row, as they normally are, would be fantastic.
Yeah. And it's actually really hard to, when we watch WrestleMania, to go back to the Thunderdome. It's quite difficult. I mean, they've updated the Thunderdome, they've updated the set, so it does look a bit better. But yeah, it's
not the
hard.
Same, though, is it?
It isn't the same, unfortunately, no. But, well, talking of the Thunderdome, we'll go to WWE now. And, you know,
we have to.
Well, SmackDown is enjoyable. There are aspects of Raw that we can talk about with some positivity. Charlotte Flair, lads, that we talked about just before we went on the air, as being a fact that we quite enjoy at the minute. She's got a new edge to her. Of course, she missed out in WrestleMania. That's part of her character at the moment. Of course, real life, there has been some issues behind the scenes, what with her husband Andrade being released. She actually got COVID as well. That was a reason for her lack of involvement at Mania and the shows before and after that. But she has returned. She attacked a referee, was fined and suspended, only to be told she's not actually fined and suspended, which kind of confused me a little bit. But I think the edge that she has now is what we should really talk about. And Rob, you know, Charlotte was gone for a while. She missed WrestleMania. Raw, of course, is naff, and you're not a big fan of it. But can you appreciate Charlotte Flair and what she's doing at the moment?
She's just best at her best when she's heel. And she's not face. She can do it, but as that monster heel, that's what she's best at doing. And yeah, at the moment, well, I mean, I've seen very little of Raw. I just kind of skim through it. But she seems one of the standout parts at the moment. And part of me wonders if they might just chuck the title back on her. She's that good at the moment. I thought they may go down the route of making it a triple threat between her, Oscar and Ripley at Backlash. They may well still do that. And then maybe have Oscar pinned and have Charlotte win the title. And you could build for Charlotte Rhea again in the future. Because I think Charlotte's that good at the moment. It seems a shame, but obviously I love Rhea Ripley, so I don't just want her to lose a title to drop the hat. But yeah, there's no one really better than Charlotte Flair. She is arguably the best female performer in the WWE, and when she's on screen, I actually want to watch, which is something that Raw lacks a lot of the time. But when she's on the screen, she gets my attention. Andy, that promo she cut on the first Raw after WrestleMania, I thought was superb. She had my attention. But the only thing I liked about that Raw after WrestleMania, and she's kind of one of the things I like about Raw, because I think Raw's shite, to be honest. So, I'm excited for Flair. Obviously, my favourite, Sonya Deville, has now reinstated her, so she's going to get involved. Not sure how I feel about being on Raw, because I don't want her to be on Raw. Stay away from Raw. Come to SmackDown, safe place. Just don't go on Raw. It was a scary place. But it's interesting, Andy. I'm not really sure how they're going to play it out, to be honest. I'm kind of just speculating, because as I said, I don't know the ins and outs of Raw, because I don't pay attention to it, because I think it's terrible. So, you boys will know more than me. You probably pay more attention to Raw. I don't give a crap about it.
Well, to be fair, it is difficult to keep your concentration when you're watching Raw, because let's not forget, it's a 3-hour slogfest with, very little character interaction, which is why I think I like what Charlotte Flair's doing at the moment, because it is a bit different and it is just fresh, and that's what we need. We need a bit of freshness. And Sonya Deville is fresh. I mean, she's having a bit of a power struggle, Connor, with Adam Pearce, who you mentioned before we went on the air. You think that we could see a power grab from Sonya Deville. How do you think that might play out?
Going behind his back, isn't she, Andy? Doing things when he doesn't know about it. Love it. Sneaking Charlotte in through the back. Getting her reinstated. Oh, sneaky, sneaky Sonya. No, I think it would be good. Fuck Adam Pearce, he's boring. He didn't do anything. He just nods. Okay. Add me to the match. Okay, Braun, I will. I want a match against Drew. Okay, Braun.
Yeah, you know, it's scary, in fairness.
He don't do anything. He's Roman Reigns' bitch. You know, it's not good enough. It's not good enough, Andy. I don't want him running the company. I want Sonya running the company. I want her in charge, controlling it. And then she just reinstates herself into a match and wins everything.
Yeah,
everything.
So I think, no, but back to your original question, Andy. Yeah, I think she's slowly going to take over from Adam Pearce, and then slowly she's going to just put herself into matches, put herself in situations. Maybe someone, I don't know, maybe someone drops out injured in a tag team match or something and she steps in, and then all of a sudden she realises how much she loves wrestling again and just starts to reinstate her. We've obviously got Money in the Bank coming up. I've heard a few people. I know Robbie was a big one for her winning Money in the Bank, but I might be one to maybe stick her in it. Maybe she can, like I said, maybe they're doing some qualifying matches and maybe someone mysteriously gets injured or something. Yeah. And then she puts herself in last minute and ends up winning. And I think slowly but surely she'll start to get herself, you know, back into the fray again. But I would like to see her sort of take over from Adam Pearce. I always felt like Adam Pearce was a sort of a stopgap until they kind of worked out what they were going to do, like whether they bring back Shane or whether they, you know, or whether Vince starts being more on screen, or Stephanie. But now it looks like they're going to probably just sort of get Sonya coming in, and then maybe they'll think about something after that. But I think she's too talented to just be on the sidelines. However, it did make me realise she's pretty good in front of the camera and pretty good on the mic as well, which I kind of forgot because she obviously was off the back end last year with personal issues and things like that. So, no, it's good to see her back, and it's good to see her get involved. And she's doing an Adam Pearce now. She's going between the brands. So maybe that will carry on for a little bit as she slowly takes over.
Well, that's my only issue with the power thing, because I like to have spearheads on each brand. I hate brand movement. I mean, I get it with the women's tag champs, Nia and Shayna. I get that because, you know, they have to defend on all brands. But I don't like it when other people appear on the brands for no reason. And I think that's the same with authority figures. I kind of, unless it's Vince McMahon, I don't like it. It just annoys me. It's like,
would you rather like Adam on Raw and then Sonya?
Yeah,
on SmackDown,
something like that.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, I agree. Just because Sonya on SmackDown just so she doesn't get, you know, lost in the 3-hour mud hog. But I just don't like the flipping. I think you've got to keep both brands very, very separate. Otherwise, you lose their identity, don't they?
And
they
of course, Andy. Very similar. But did you enjoy Damian Priest and co throwing tomatoes at Elias, Jackson Ryker, and The Miz? Did you like that?
No. It might be of when, you know, Roman Reigns got covered in dog food. It's like,
yeah,
that. It's very
and it was the New Day as well. It's like, it's so sad. New Day and Damian Priest resorted to throwing tomatoes. And The Miz, he's gone from double Grand Slam champion to having tomatoes thrown at him. Yep. That's the current state of Raw, I'm afraid.
It is. You know, they got new tag champs, Omos and AJ. Where are they? Go on now.
Great question. Where are they?
Mess.
And silly stuff. 3 hours. You can't put them on.
They?
Don't ask me. I'm not writing this shit. But yeah, we should talk about, look, there's a very important topic that we haven't discussed on this podcast, because of course, when you were doing your interview, Connor, Rob and I weren't around, this news was breaking. A lot of releases, plenty of wrestlers. It's often a post-WrestleMania cull in WWE. In this particular week was pretty brutal. We saw some decent names get the chop. I think one of the biggest easily was Samoa Joe, who had just been on the commentary team at WrestleMania. We saw him wearing his waterproof Mac, which was quite hilarious. I thought he was a great commentator, but of course that paralleled, paled in comparison, I should say, to his wrestling ability. We hoped he'd come back from injury at some point soon. That hasn't happened. Robbie's been released. What are they doing?
No idiots, aren't they? Andy? I mean, I have some sort of bias because obviously we've all met him. I've had my photo of him and Smith's in Bournemouth. But the fact he never won a world title is a complete farce. I saw a lot of people saying they should have put it on him just before I started watching back in 2017 with Brock Lesnar. Should have done it then, but they didn't. They just missed a trick, Andy. I don't know what the issue is, because on the mic, I would go as far as to say he is the best in terms of the men's division on WWE, in terms of promos, etc. Some of the people put all his promos on Twitter, and some of them are absolutely incredible. I don't understand what Vincent C. I really don't, Andy. I know he's had obviously a few injuries here and there, but still, it's not. He's so talented. It's just a huge loss, Andy. And he's going to go on to bigger and better things. I want to see him on Dynamite because I feel some of the promos he could have with the likes of Jericho and MJF would just be insane. And Tony has a brain, so I'm sure. Because I know obviously it's like a 99-day period they can't sign like July. So obviously can't do anything at the moment. But I'd be shocked if Tony wasn't knocking the door. Tony, there are a few others. If I was Tony, I'd be going for Billy Kay and Peyton Royce as well. The Billy Kay one just winds me up because she was so over. He just decided to drop her, which it makes zero sense to me. But going back to Smojo, yeah, they've just missed a trick. And they've lost an extremely talented wrestler. Everyone thought when he was taken off commentary, yes, he's going to get back in the ring. We want to see him go after Roman Reigns. That Samoan bloodline story. But no, no, no. He has said farewell. Well, he might not have said farewell, but he's been kicked out, Andy, which is just a deep, deep shame. I haven't seen him wrestle in well over a year now. And when I finally think he's come back, I hear the news that he's been released. It is a joke, Andy. And whoever made that decision is an idiot. So they are. They're an idiot. I get they've got that division, Andy, but there are people in that roster who are worse, who don't deserve their place. Well, not don't deserve their place, but aren't as talented as him. Let's be honest. People like Jackson Ryker has managed to get on television, and Samoa Joe can't.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you mentioned the Iconics there, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, especially Billy Kay, who I think has been stellar in the past few months. She wrestled on WrestleMania. And a few days later, she's getting the chop. It makes absolutely no sense to me. Mickey James as well, a multiple-time women's champion. Really hard to fathom that.
Yeah, a stuff sense going to bin bag or something.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. So
did you see how angry Triple H was about that?
Well, Mark Carano, who was one of the talent relations guys for many years, got fired over there, which I think is quite right.
Fair enough. She's a legend.
Triple H was furious.
Well, how could you treat a legend like that?
Absolutely furious.
And they're a multi-million dollar company. You're telling me they can't afford some decent packaging, like a box with some nice ceiling or something? Come on. A bin bag.
I don't think they really care, Andy. It's a business, isn't it, WWE? AEW obviously taught they would love each other, which is...
WWE, Steph McMahon's always the one that says that WWE is a family. When you're part of the WWE family, you're a member for life. Like, well, that's just not true, is it now? No. Chelsea Green... also released, never got to appear on the main roster properly. She was actually advertised for a bit before she got released, and then she never appeared.
She got injured in her debut, didn't she? If I remember well,
broke her wrist
summer or something, wasn't
it? She was being advertised to return, and that didn't happen. She got released. Tucker, of course, formerly of Heavy Machinery, real shame because, of course, Tucker was never going to be the star. Okay, he wasn't. But I think he had a place to play. And they never explained why he...
I could have told you that would happen as soon as they broke them up. I think we all knew that Tucky would never appear again on television, which is a deep, deep shame.
Kalisto, former US champion, got the chop. Bit of a shame, but again, I couldn't really see where else to go with him. Bo Dallas, brother of Bray Wyatt, and from what I understand, Bo has actually got a very flourishing estate agent business. That might have something to do with it. Wesley Blake has also released, and Mojo Rawley, who, again, main roster run.
Is that fair enough?
Bit underwhelming. Won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal Mania. That's probably his highlight. Other than that, couldn't say too much.
Christ.
The one that's interesting there, Andy, is what you say about, you mentioned it there, Rob, how does Jackson Ryker get on TV, right? And so remember when they were the Forgotten Sons, right? And they were that tag team, right?
And we forgot them.
It was him, it was Wesley Blake and the other one, Steve Cutler. Something, 100%. But anyway, the whole point was, the reason that they got taken off TV was because of something that Jackson Ryker did, right? Yeah. And so Jackson Ryker was the person that got this tag team in trouble, got them taken off TV, basically made them lose all momentum, yet he's the one who keeps his job and gets a regular place on TV, and the other two don't. I mean, how does that even work?
He's generic. He's got a big bushy beard. Everyone in WWE has.
How does it work, though? Like, you're basically repaying somebody who did something wrong and basically ruined it for the other two. The other two get released and he doesn't.
Well, he has a spot.
Doesn't make any
sense.
He's
Elias's bodyguard. He has a spot at the minute. The other guys didn't. So I guess that's why. Real shame. Real shame. But Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, I can't get over.
The other thing that really pisses me off is they break up an unbelievable tag team in the Iconics to just release them. What's the point?
I think they were hoping one of them would get
over.
They wanted Peyton Royce to get over.
But where's her chance?
That's my point.
Give her a chance if you want to get her over.
Billy Kay wasn't really given much of an opportunity, but she did, and she got released anyway.
But they were a good tag team. They were different. They were loud. They were annoying. Don't really have that.
Kayleigh
Baszler and Nia Jax are annoying, but they ain't loud. They ain't got personality. They're boring. Yeah. They were don't get it.
The tag team, the women's tag team division.
I don't get it,
Andy. But you had a legitimate one in the Iconics.
Yeah, so who won the titles at Mania? Got a huge.
Exactly, they were loved.
Their reign was botched. Not their fault, but they barely ever defended. They just forgot about the titles when they did the Super Showdown in Australia. They got, of course, their hometown hero, so they would, but they still got a massive, massive reaction. They were an entertaining entity, and they've been released for what I can tell is no reason. Maybe cost.
And then Samoa Joe. I mean, that just takes the absolute piss.
Yeah,
getting rid of Samoa Joe.
Yeah,
and sold us completely down the river there.
And Mickie James treating her that badly. And of course, the great Mojo Rawley. But you know.
You know, it almost makes me want to boycott it, because what is the point? Yeah. What is the point?
I thought I'd bring don't that get up, it. We hadn't talked about it, but I thought we should.
No, but it makes me angry. Yeah. You can tell.
I can tell.
It makes me angry.
And look, I'm not against releasing people. You have to do it. Eva Lees was recently released from AEW. There's a bit of acrimonious split there.
Yeah, I'll come on to that. I read about that, so I'll mention that as well. But these are talented individuals. Talented individuals that were over with the crowd, had previous spots where they were loved. Why would you, like, all right, like, fair enough, like, Tucky and that lot, all right, sad, I get it, but you ain't been on TV in ages, you know, fair enough, right? Probably no space for you. But Samoa Joe has been on commentary. He did WrestleMania, for Christ's sake. Billy Kay was wrestled at WrestleMania in a tag team with Carmella. Peyton Royce was on Raw a couple of weeks
ago. Peyton Royce cut an amazing promo on Raw Talk.
Yeah, had a match against
everyone
Oscar.
Everyone on social media was going on about, saying, oh,
had a match against Oscar, and then that was it.
Yeah.
You just don't. Oh, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I mean, this is people's livelihoods. Like, you know what I mean? It's like being sacked from a job. You know, it's not a game. It's not like a fantasy world. It's real life. Like, these people now don't have work. Honestly. And you keep shits like Jackson Ryker. Are you taking the piss? To watch him on my screen every week. Even Elias. You know what? I'm sick of Elias. Fuck off. Shit. I don't like you. What's the point? I don't get it.
And you mentioned,
anyway, that's my rant over.
Well, you did mention Eva Lees, and she was released. She claimed it was something to do with how women were treated in AEW. However, other people suggest she had problems with the coaches and perhaps had a bit of an ego problem. So
yeah,
I think Tony probably
and she
thought...
had a go at Thunder Rosa, and I don't like people having a go at Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa has given so many opportunities to women. If you know, you look back at the interview I just did recently with Vert Vixen, you look at Maddie Ronkowski as well. Both of them got that chance because Thunder Rosa put them forward.
Yeah.
Put them forward. So I'm not having that Thunder Rosa was taking limelight away from Eva Lees, as she claims. And I'm going to say claimed because I'm going to put words in anybody's mouth. You know, if you want, you can do your own research off the back of it. But I think there were some issues there. And maybe there were some issues with Samoa Joe. Listen, maybe they said, listen, we've got this for you. And he turned around and said no. But until I hear that, I'm not happy.
Rob, very quickly before we move on to NXTCon, which you can take us through a major point. Rob, very quickly, a lot is made about AEW nicking former WWE guys, older WWE guys. So Christian came, Big Show came, he's now Paul White. You know, they do get a lot of former WWE guys, which in some ways is good because it gives you traction. But other times, I think some people's argument is that, okay, you're relying too heavily on former WWE guys. Samoa Joe, if he was to go there, would that be part of that argument? Or do you think that would just work?
No, he's someone in his prime. The ones... The Christian Cage one. I don't have any issue with Christian Cage. But yeah, there's a point where I thought you are just taking on. But ones where I feel like they still have so much more to give. And arguably Samoa Joe still hasn't reached his full potential personally. I believe he is a world champion. And in AEW, I think he would get that opportunity. As I said, I think in promos and stuff, he's absolutely brilliant at them. If I was Tony, I'd take him, and I'd take Peyton Royce and Billy Kay as well. I think he'd be able to get the best out of Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. It's not hard to get Billy Kay to go over. She just hands up CVs of herself. She'd keep doing that on AEW. It wouldn't be hard.
Yeah.
I think those, they would make good additions. To some of the additions to AEW, for some of the ex-WWE ones, I feel like he's done them just for the sake of it. But when they actually make AEW better, which I think Samoa Joe certainly would. I know their division is already stacked, but he would make it better. I don't think if he didn't want him to send him to the title picture, we wouldn't have to do that, because I think he can have great storylines with people, as I said, because on the mic he is superb. So I think you could find storylines for him. I think they'd be good at acquisitions. Obviously, you can't do anything till July because it's 99 days, whether it's policy that they have, where they can't sign with anyone. I don't know the ins and outs of it. Sounds pretty stupid to me. Yeah, I'd love to see an AEW because I love Samoa Joe. When I first started watching, you lads know how much of a fan I was of him. He's one of my favourites. And the fact that I'll never get to see him wrestle on WWE is very sad. But hopefully it won't be long until he's at least back on my television screen. I'd be shocked if no one signed him. I'd be absolutely shocked because he is a superstar. And he's a unique. He's an asset. He's different. No one's built like Samoa Joe. No one is. No one has those little pants. I hope Tony doesn't change his outfit.
His little pants.
He better still keep the towel. I'll be fuming if he gets rid of the towel.
And you know what? He had a massive association with Impact, or TNA as it was known back then, for a long time.
Impact, he was incredible. Possible. Christian on the podcast literally mentioned he had a match from like 2007.
Yeah. Rob, you've actually just reminded me there. We'll have to share on our Twitter that video of you pretending to be some Joe.
In memory.
We'll tag him in it. We'll tag him in it and see if we can get a response because it's very, very good.
Stay tuned for that one. Connor, we'll close out the show. NXT, a couple of weeks ago, something happened.
Yes, Andy, there was a massive, massive, massive incident.
Oh.
Massive, massive incident. LA Knight defeated Dexter Lumis. So, that's what happened. No, what Andy's referring to, Andy, what were you going to say?
This is bigger than Kenny winning both titles, by the way. This is big stuff.
It is. And it was another swerve, something we didn't expect. straight after NXT NXT TakeOver, Stand and Deliver. Santos Escobar walks out on the opening Tuesday as your Cruiserweight champion, stood in the ring and said, you know, starting on Tuesday nights, let's begin. Let's begin with an open challenge. And he went, anyone out the back who wants to face me, come on, out you come. Here's me thinking it might be a Swerve Scott or someone like that. But no, Andy, Kushida. He came out. And he didn't just come out, did he? He didn't just wrestle, Andy. He won. And we have a new NXT Cruiserweight champion in Kushida. He also successfully defended last week as well with a new look, Andy. He's gone for pants. He's gone for no shoes. You're looking a little bit of Muay Thai now, you know?
Yeah.
And he looks the real deal. We know WWE have been very, very high on him. Triple H has been a big, big fan. We saw him lose a few weeks ago to Johnny Gargano in a North American title shot. And we were thinking, okay, where do we go here? But we talk about wanting to elevate the Cruiserweight division. And I think this is the perfect man to elevate your Cruiserweight division because people like him. You know, you've got to look on social media. They're fans of him. They see the way that he's grown. And I can see him holding the title for a very, very long time. I mean, Andy, you must have been delighted. You're probably, you know, as I am when Cruiserweight stuff comes on, probably looking at your phone, checking where you've got to be in the next couple of hours. And then all of a sudden you turn back around. It's 1, 2, 3 and Kushida's holding the belt.
Yeah, it was incredible. Kush is going to be a great Cruiserweight champion. You know what, Connor, you're absolutely right. Because they did really, in the weeks just prior to Stand and Deliver, they really reinvigorated interest in the Cruiserweight division. Because before that, we talked about it on our post Stand and Deliver show. It was dead. I mean, it really, really was that I couldn't get excited about it. I thought Escobar was a talented bloke, but I thought him and Swerve Scott were boring. It was just the same old, same old, same old. Devlin came back, breathed life into it. The ladder match was stellar. Really, really good. Surprised Devlin didn't win, but now I get why he didn't win. I think they were lining Kushida up. I know he lost to Gargano. I know that. Okay. Whatever, irrelevant.
Doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. I think they were lining him up for this. And I consider myself a bit of a fool that I did not see Kushida as a possible Cruiserweight champ in the past. I never once at all put that in my head that he could go in that division because he fits the division. He's technically a Cruiserweight, I think, by weight. Definitely, I literally never put two and two together and thought that could ever happen. He was always in the North America title pitch for me. That's why I was so confused of where he could go. I feel like an idiot for not seeing that. Why not go for the Cruiserweight title? Why not? And he has, and he won it. Fantastic stuff.
He certainly did, and it's also very good. Jordan Devlin came up to him in the trainer's room after and said, I'll be coming back for that title.
Yeah, so next challenger.
Kushida versus Devlin down the line, which I think is going to be very interesting. And Kushida looks like a man who loves an open challenge. I reckon he will defend it. He'll wrestle week in, week out. And it's good. We want to see him on our screens. He's got a new little look to him as well. I think he's quite good. Maybe taking himself a little bit more seriously, a bit more hardcore now. And I like that comes with being a champion. As well, another one that I wanted to quickly briefly mention, Kyle O'Reilly. Looks like he is becoming the main man now and potentially will be the next challenger for Karrion Kross. He obviously defeated Cameron Grimes in the main event, which is actually, I haven't watched NXT yet this week, but I believe Ted DiBiase actually turns up. Because you know the whole money thing that Cameron Grimes is doing at the moment, so that might be quite funny. I think, Andy, I reckon you'll like that.
Yeah.
I think there's a little interaction that the two of them have. But no, Kyle O'Reilly wins again. We haven't seen Adam Cole since TakeOver. Obviously, Roderick Strong has resigned. Week. He's gone. Oh, have you seen it, Andy?
You'll see Cole. Yeah, you see.
In an interview.
He didn't address it, but he didn't seem bothered about losing to O'Reilly. He's sort of blasé about it. Like, I'm still the face of NXT, so.
Cool. So you got Cole back. Still no Fish. Not quite sure where Bobby Fish is.
Fish just isn't existing at the minute.
I don't know where he's gone. They Bobby. Keep saying he's gone, but no one goes any further to tell me where they've gone. But Rob, your man, he's looking pretty good, isn't he, my friend?
Yeah, he's looking pretty good. Normally I'd be annoyed if Dexter Lumis lost, but I think Alan Knight's an absolute baller. I think he's destined to God's great things. I know, something you say, I latch on to weird individuals, but he's captivated me in his first couple of months of NXT. I don't know, he's charismatic, isn't he? And I just like his heel character. There are some heels who just I have no time for at all.
Rob, is he very, very cool?
He is cool. I don't know what it is about him, to be honest. I think he's just got a cool look. He's got his tight
pants. You're like a... Rob, you're like Indy Hartwell with Dexter Lumis. That's kind of what vibes I'm getting right here. Yeah. Like, you're like gooning over LA Knight, but no. But no, NXT, I think, is moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Coming out of TakeOver, I think, you know, get Raquel and Karrion on screen a little bit more, and I think they'll be on to a winner.
Yeah, well, we're going to see Raquel versus Mercedes, looks like, which would be great. Bit confused about the heel dynamic going on.
That's the thing. But she tends to be a face now.
I think Raquel's turning more face, you know.
Well, she did that thing where they had the three of them in the ring, her, Bianca and Rhea, and it seemed face vibes.
They were like, yay. I was like, oh.
And then I wonder then, are they going to have Kai go full heel and turn her at some point? She can't really have them both. And maybe that's what they're going to do at some point. I like Gonzalez as a heel. I still like her. But it was that monster heel that made me become obsessed with her. And she has
and to Rob
her face.
Your favourite, poor old Toni Storm's going through a little bit of a...
She's going through a
bad time. She lost to a debutant this week.
Rainer or something like that, wasn't it?
I know I'm supposed to know this, but I can't even tell you her name.
And she won.
Yeah, no, she should...
Zoe Stark is in her head.
Yeah, they need to build her back up as a babyface. I think the heel thing's not really worked. I think as a babyface. I would have liked Syria as a babyface going for Gonzalez as full heel, but... And I'm not in charge, to be honest with you. I'm still Finn lost, not gonna lie.
Yeah, exactly. And Finn, I've seen pictures of him with his wife. They're off having some sort of recuperation.
Who's saying you should go back to the main roster? What's the point in that? Don't go back there. That's a scary place. Don't go back to the main roster, Finn.
What happened if you went to Raw, Rob?
Oh, God, can you imagine? That would be terrible for him. I feel like they might dress him up, but they'd give him a god-awful gimmick.
I know. Well, and another thing we didn't actually mention about Raw was, Andy, I wanted to quickly ask you, what is happening now? Like the Fiend, right? So is he just gone now? Is he just finished? Is he just over?
He loses and then goes away for a while, doesn't he? But he loses so much at the moment, he's never here.
But what's this doll that Alexa's got now?
I know. She just talks in riddles.
Yeah, they've just gone full of Alexa, haven't they? They should just sack the Fiend off. Go on and spit off. After that, what happened at Mania? I'm glad I didn't review that because I was livid after that.
It's so such a shame because it's such an amazing character, such a fascinating gimmick.
They completely butchered it.
Killed it.
It pains me.
But then, Andy, you know, we switched to the blue brand and look at what they're doing with Cesaro.
Yes,
so they can do it.
Fantastic push now.
They can do it.
He's not going to beat Report Roman. No one's going to beat Roman. Roman will still have that belt when we're in LA in 2 years' time. I'm telling you now. He still will have that title.
It's a shout. It's a huge shout. Him versus
I think he still will. I don't see anyone stopping him. I really don't. I don't think anyone's going to stop him.
But with The Fiend, I will just say this, that I think Mick Foley had a wonderful ability at changing characters. He was Dude Love, Mankind, Texas Jack, and then just plain old Mick Foley. Bray Wyatt, I think now he needs to create these trio of personalities and mix them up regularly. So classic Bray Wyatt, you know, the Firefly guy who rocks into the chair, you know, with the sort of the Hawaiian shirt on. Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt, the kids TV host and The Fiend. If you mix them up randomly, you never know which one you're going to get. I think that's the only way forward. Otherwise, it's just like the feed's boring.
But this
boring.
Is his fault that he's been shot.
Oh, no.
No.
It was the hottest thing when it first arrived on the scene. Yeah. Since the Hell in a Cell match, it's gone horribly downhill.
Yeah, but we say this, right? But you look at Oscar. When she had the title belt, you never saw her. Now she's on every week.
Yeah, I'm not saying yes, have the title.
But what I'm saying is, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I just don't get what Raw does.
Now Orton's a baby face again. Fair
okay,
enough.
Bro.
See, I didn't mind that. I don't know, Raw didn't like it.
Apparently, Orton is in favour of it. Fair
it's
enough.
All right. I think people will work
with that absolute douchebag and be my guest. I did it because I didn't view Mania, but I thought him and Sheamus' match was one of the better ones.
It actually was. It was sick.
The finish, the bro kick when he did the flying thing off the ropes was unbelievable.
But
that was
they haven't good. Got many tag teams, and RK-Bro, I can understand the appeal. And Orton, at the moment, he's going to get to that point where he's got to start putting over talent. People clearly feel Riddle's talented. I don't see it personally. It just irritates the hell out of me. But fair enough. It's something different, I suppose. That isn't the worst thing about Raw.
The worst thing about Raw then, Robbie?
That's a hard question.
The repetitive matches, I think. The endless limit matches.
How many times have we seen Nia Jax and Shayna? How many times have we seen Miz and Morrison against like Damian Priest or whoever he gets tagged with?
I look at SmackDown and I see stars. There are so many people I want to see face Roman because they're building people like Cesaro and Rollins. I both want to see him face both of them at some point.
You know what I see on SmackDown? Well, I also see on AEW, see on NXT. And I don't see on Raw, even though technically they do, but they just didn't feel like it. They all have stories. Everyone has a story. Raw just feels like the same every week. It's Drew and Bobby every week, then Braun every week. It's Naomi versus the tag champs. You know, and Lana every week. It's T-Bar and Slapjack or Retribution talking on. It's the same. It is the same every week.
Maybe Sonya will change that. She'll give us those matches that we need to. And then I might start watching if I get different. But I check in the morning. I see the same matches, and I'm like, well, why should I watch it if I'm going to see the matches I've seen the last five times?
Yeah,
in the last few weeks.
No point, mate. No point. And then you go to AEW and they put matches on like Jungle Boy versus Darby Allin in the main event.
Class.
Yeah. I mean, show stealer. Absolute show stealer. QT Marshall in a match. I mean, who doesn't want to see QT?
Again, this is a guy that's
Anthony,
on the periphery.
Anthony Ogogo at ringside.
Okay, my only issue is with Ogogo, and I love him to bits, so he's great. The only issue is they're giving him the most 70s wrestling American gimmick of all time, where he's British and I don't like America. Like what? No.
I don't think you should speak that much. You can do the speaking for
so
him.
So true.
It's the oldest gimmick of all time, a non-American person hating America. It's like everyone does that. Every foreign wrestler has done that, or at least once. Don't do that. Just be your own man. Be that Olympic bronze medalist that everyone says you are, you know. But look,
the group he's brought out, like he, you know, QT, he's got these boys with him now who we never noticed before, and now you notice him. Like the guy who got smacked over the head with a chair by Dustin, never noticed him before, and then he just didn't even flinch. I was like, oh, I'm going to remember you now.
Nick.
You know, Aaron Solo as well. Bailey's ex. I'm going to remember QT throwing shade at Bailey, you know. I'm going to remember them now. And that's thanks to QT. I mean, that's QT breaking away and taking his own faction with him. And
yeah.
I can't wait to see QT versus Cody somewhere down the line in a ridiculously hard-hitting match.
We'll see QT versus Dustin very soon, which is great. Get Dustin back on TV. And then eventually, yeah, I think QT Cody is a great shout.
But like you say, everyone's got a storyline on AEW, don't they?
Yeah.
Everyone's got a storyline. Even Miro, you know, he wants a title shot now. Yeah. I think you should take it off Darby Allin. I don't know if you guys agree, but...
Not yet, because Darby is actually really... I'm warming to him much more as champion
every
week.
He's putting on great matches, Darby. Yeah.
Keep him going for a while.
For a bit.
Yeah. And I see Miro is more...
Because he can't take it off Kenny, because Kenny's Mr. Show Stealer at the moment.
It'd be a baby face to take it off.
Maybe have Miro, like, destroy Kip, like, really
He needs
badly,
to destroy
and
Kip.
And he can move on.
He does. I do like Kip, but bless him, he's not... Miro is a star. Kip's just...
Kip isn't the guy. Right. He's a mid-card
kind of guy, isn't he?
But good matches, you know, solid good matches. You know, I thought Shida to Ty Conti was fantastic. Mm. You know, really, I thought Ty Conti was brilliant. from someone getting a title shot. And everyone's got a storyline and you're invested in it. And that's where Raw lacks, because you think Raw's got longer, so they'd be able to do that. But they don't. They go completely the other way. It's almost like too much time and they're trying to fill it with just crap.
With less time, you've got to fill it with more content.
I think people should just boycott it. So sure, because something needs, because they don't, their numbers are dropping, but they don't seem to really be trying to rectify it. And it's been dropping for a while now. They just seem to kind of be doing the same sort of crap. I don't know what it is. It's just laziness, or
I think some people make the argument that it might have something to do with the lockdown, so no fans allowed. But actually, if you look at other companies, so if you look at NXT's numbers, AEW's numbers, they were quite similar to when they had fans. It's not to do with that all the time at all. It really isn't. It's the quality of content. And SmackDown, to be honest, is quite the same as it was pre-pandemic as well. Yeah. So it's got nothing to do with that. People are
sort of, it shows,
it's boring.
It shows it can be done right, because do you remember when SmackDown was in its infancy with Fox, and we looked at each other and we went, why have they done that? This is terrible. And we were slamming it. We were going, that's the worst decision they've made. And then they just slowly but surely started to make it better, better and better. And then it was like the first hour was really good. Then the second hour wasn't so good. And then all of a sudden it culminated into a really enjoyable show.
Yeah.
So it can be done. It can be done.
I think Reigns had a big part to play in that, to be fair, as well, because he became the spearhead of the whole thing.
But
everyone else now
just
has...
You could make a spearhead out of Bobby Lashley if you really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's that good. I genuinely think he's that good. With MVP beside him as well. So it can be done, but it's getting worse.
Indeed. Will it be done? That is the question. But what is the question is that we do have AEW Blood and Guts to look forward to next week. So do stay tuned, folks, on our social media, where Rob, Connor and I will predict that one. We'll have our predictions. I mean, obviously, it can only go two ways. It's not really a whole car we have to predict. so I don't think this is for the title, Rob, so don't worry about that. But... I certainly look forward to that. And NXT is, of course, tonight on TNT.
I do have the title about that.
You do, yes. Congratulations.
You do. You won it because you won it here for our
Roman
review. But you did win it.
My guy saved my bacon.
Roman, bless him. But yes, you do, Robin.
Rob.
And you're defending that either at Backlash or Double Nothing. Whatever, first.
What a pay per view that
is. I think Backlash is coming first, isn't it? WrestleMania Backlash, Andy. Don't forget to put the WrestleMania.
We've got two tough matches to call. We really have. And they're going to be intense.
Oh, God. Backlash, bless it. All right. But thank you very much, lads. It's been a pleasure. All three of us back together again. Wonderful
boys
stuff.
Boys are back.
We are indeed. And thank you, ladies and gents, for listening. However you're listening, on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or beyond, we thank you very much for listening. Wherever you are in the world, do stay tuned on our social medias for all the lowdown of this week's wrestling. And we will see you next time.